I'm going to tell you one way that God uses to change your life. Here it is. Got it? Waiting. Often God uses waiting in our life to change us and to help us to grow. Can I be honest with you? I don't like that. I remember when Diane died, I made a commitment that I was going to wear my wedding ring for a year afterwards, and I was not going to even date during that year. That was one of the longest years in my life. And a few months into that year, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was trying to weasel out of my commitment. If we just went to coffee, and it wouldn't be really a date, and they called me out. And I stuck to my commitment. But waiting for companionship, waiting to seek companionship for a whole year was a long time. So my question to you is, what have you had to wait for? What was it that you had to wait for? How do you feel about waiting now? I mean, have you made financial decisions in the heat of the moment? And you said, oh yeah, this is a great, let's go gung-ho. And then you were like, oh my word, what have we gotten ourselves into? Have there been impulsive decisions that have gotten you into trouble? What is it that you wish you would have waited longer for? Can't God help us with that? Can't God just speed things up so we don't have to wait so long? Let's learn about that from Jesus having a conversation with his disciples after his resurrection. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him. That is just like, are we there yet? Have you heard that? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's what the disciples, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" They were saying, we're getting tired of waiting. They saw Jesus die. They're now talking to the resurrected Jesus who defeated death. So let's get the show on the road. We're going to go. Come on. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that? God, come on, let's go. What did Jesus say? He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." Let's camp for a little bit on that sentence of Jesus. Why? Because we need to allow God to change you through waiting. We need to allow God to change us through waiting. Why? Because Jesus said, the Father alone has the authority. You don't have control, so you surrender. You don't have control. The Father has the authority, and so you surrender. The one that you wait for is the one in control. We had a family member in our family, and I won't tell you their name, but they were always the last one in the van. Have you had that experience We're getting ready to go somewhere, and we're waiting on them. Oh, oh. And I would like to tell you how their name was said when they got, and they would finally get in there, and we're all waiting, and they get in there, and they don't even sit down yet. Oh, I forgot something. And then they go back inside. We're like, the one that you wait for is the one in control. Maybe we should have just taken off and said, well, you can go on vacation, you know, by yourself. No, we didn't do that because we cared about that relationship. And so what do? We waited. We waited. The one that you wait for is the one in charge. And God wants control of your life, so he will often cause you to wait. God wants to be that person in your life that you wait for. Jesus said, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. You don't know what's next, so you listen. And so we listen. God has given us some clues about what things in the future will be like. We have some clues, but he didn't write down all the specifics. And so we're trying to figure out when all that's to be. And so what do? We listen. We listen. How do we listen? How do we listen to God? Well, you read his word. It's like he's speaking to us, and we have his word for us. And that's why we take time every day to get into God's word and to read what he said and to read it as though God is speaking to us. You know why? Because God is speaking to us through his word. And so we listen. We don't know what's next. And so we listen to everything he tells us. And Jesus said, and they are not for you to know. They are not for you to know. You don't know, so you build trust. We don't know all the timing. And so that develops trust. We're just going to trust you, God. We don't know what's going to happen today. You know, a funny thing to do is to wake up in the morning and think you know what's going to happen that day. Isn't that arrogant? I know what's going to happen today. No, you don't. And there's some mornings that happens like you think it's going to happen. And there's some days that you realize, you know what? I thought I had a clue this morning. Turns out, I don't have a clue how things are going to go today. But God does. God does. And so we build trust in that. Have you ever done a trust walk? What you do is you have two people, and one person is blindfolded, and the other person tells this person where to walk. And so the best way to do it is to have obstacles around. And so you say, you walk, watch out, there's something there. And then and as they navigate, as the person listens and gives good directions, there's trust that's built in that relationship because it's working. And so that's called a trust walk. And that's what we do with God. See, it's hard to wait on God's timing. One of the most painful things in life is when you are in a hurry and God's not. And so we're going to take a look at a couple of examples this morning about waiting. Here's the first one. This is Samuel, and he's talking to King Saul. And there's going to be a battle, but before there's a battle, they offer a sacrifice, and they ask for God's power and protection during that battle. 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions. So, was that clear? You understood that, right? 7 days, wait, further instructions. Saul understood that, but chapter 13, verse 8. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel instructed him earlier. Uh-oh, there's that bad word, but. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offerings himself. Was that his responsibility? No. What was he instructed to do? To wait. To wait. And he didn't wait. Saul took a responsibility that wasn't his. And so we need to be prepared. God will examine you on your ability to wait. One of the ways we will be evaluated is our ability to wait. And that's what happened. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 13. "But now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." We need to learn that God won't use a leader that doesn't wait. God won't use a leader that doesn't wait. That's what we need to learn. Next slide. God won't use a leader that doesn't wait. Why? Because if I don't wait on God, who's in charge? If I don't, God, you have to move according to my timetable. How does that go over? It doesn't go over well. And so Saul learned that the hard way. We tend to be ready, fire, aim. Or in the church, ready, act, pray. Ready, decide, pray. And we get those mixed up because we're in such a hurry. Do you remember that one verse where it says Jesus hurried to the... You remember that? You know why you don't remember that? Because it's not there. Jesus never hurried. He rushed. Oh, I gotta hurry up. No. Man, I wish I was more like that. I wish I was like that. So, that's King Saul. That's the mistake he made. Now let's take a look at another example. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Stephen is recounting this when he's before the council. "At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day, when Moses was 40, take note, 40, when he was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense, avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but he didn't. What was the mission God had for Moses? To rescue them, the children of Israel. The next day, he visited them again. He saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" He asked, "Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" You see, God's mission, Moses understood God's mission on his life to rescue the people of Israel, but God's mission done man's way doesn't work. And that's what Moses first tried. It says, when Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. 40 years later. Okay, get this. 40 years later. That's a long time. He was 80 years old in the desert. near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of the burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them." What's that next word? Now. Now go. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. Now. It's God's timing. It's God's timing. Now go. God's mission plus waiting equals success. God's mission plus waiting equals success. And I know that formula is depressing. Wait, what? I gotta wait? Oh, isn't that hard? But I have seen that over and over and over again in Scripture. Hannah had to wait years to have a baby that she was praying for. Who was that baby? Samuel. We just heard from him earlier. Joseph waited 14 years in prison for something he didn't do wrong. Abraham waited 100 years before his son Isaac was born, the child God had promised him years before. Noah waited 120 years before it rained. Noah, what are you doing? Building a boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. And they would say, "What's rain?" For 120 years. How many of you have ever waited for something for 120 years? Isn't that crazy? He waited for 120 years. God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. Waiting is essential to your faith. Waiting is essential to my faith. Waiting is a test of loyalty. Are you loyal enough to wait for God? There was a young lady, and her husband was called to go to war. Well, they were, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't a husband, it was fiance. They were engaged. They weren't married yet. And her fiance is going to war, and he said his last words to her, "Wait for me for a year. 1 year, wait." So he's at war, John's at war, and all of a sudden this guy named Jerry keeps showing up. "How you doing? How's everything going?" What happens? You know what happens. She sent a Dear John letter. Do you know what a Dear John letter is? "Dear John, you're great, but he's here." And she didn't wait. And she lost that relationship because she refused to wait. And God asks us as his followers to wait. It's a test of loyalty. But here's the thing. The tendency is to think, when we think of waiting, we tend to think like this. There's more than that in waiting. Be active while you wait. Waiting is not passive. And here are some things that you are to do as you wait. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. So you keep on praying. While you're waiting, you keep on praying and you keep on praying. Romans 12:11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Keep on serving. Don't stop serving, because it's in that setting that God may direct you to that thing you're waiting on. Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Keep on connecting with believers. Don't just say, "Well, I'm waiting and I'm going to hide over here in a corner and suck my thumb and just be all by myself. No, keep on connecting with believers. Often they provide the support that you need in that season. 1 Corinthians 9:23, I do everything to spread the good news and share in his blessing. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing seeds of the good news, using every opportunity. 2 Timothy 3:14, but you must keep on believing the things you have been taught. You know they are true. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Why? I'm reminded, many of you know a guy by the name of Mark Lowry. You know what his favorite verse is? His favorite verse is, and it came to pass. That's his favorite verse. And it came to pass. Whatever you are going through right now, it is temporary. It came to pass. In the middle of it, it feels heavy and it feels permanent, right? But it came to pass, and it will pass. It won't last forever. Keep believing. This is maybe a season of waiting and preparing, but it's temporary. God cares about your ability to wait. God will evaluate you based on your ability to wait. But if you're anything like I am, you ask that one question that I've asked my parents probably a million times. Why? 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 You have a kid like that? Why? Why does God ask us to wait? And to find the answer to that, let's go all the way back to the passage we began with in Acts chapter 1. But let's go to verse 8, the next verse in that passage. Jesus goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wait to receive power. Wait to receive power. That's why we wait. Is God says, I want you to wait so that my power can work through. Just look how effective Moses was when he tried to free the people of Israel his way. Right? When God did it his way in the 10 plagues and all that God did there, you see all the power in that? That's what God wants to do. And my concern for us is that we keep trying to do things our way like Moses did. But if we wait, there's power there. Notice what it says. This is for those of you who are over the age of 40. Okay? Did you know there's a verse for you in Scripture? Isaiah, ironically, chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who what for the Lord? Wait. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Excuse me. You need power for the storm that you're going through. You want power? Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. And you will have power for what you're going through. God has all the time in the world. And there's times that's not a comforting thought, but a thought of frustration. God has all the time in the world. And God has never, ever been late. And so it's okay to wait for his time. And so as I want to encourage you, there was a time when prayer was called what? Waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. And so I thought that would be a great way for us to just spend some time and right where you're seated, just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And allow God to speak. Now just surrender to God and say, God, all I am and all I have is yours. Now ask the Lord, Lord, where am I running ahead of you? Father, we wait on you. You know what you're doing. And so we allow you to be in control. We love you. We want to see your power at work in our lives so that your power will work through our lives, so your power will not just affect us, but would affect those around us, that you would use us to impact the world around each one of us. That this community, whole community, would be changed because we wait on you. Oh, Father, you're worth waiting for. We love you. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and then through us. In Jesus' name, amen.